Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
The question before us today is how to fight effectively. We're talking, of course, about fighting spiritual battles. And we are looking at First Peter, chapter 1, verse 13, and learning something of the central role of the mind in effective Christian living. Why do we engage in this spiritual battle? It's a lot of work. It's a lot of trouble. It's a lot of effort. Why bother? Well, because of the salvation that has been freely bestowed upon us. The grace of salvation was given to us without cost, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't have any demands, any claims upon the lives of those for whom Christ died. Of course it does. And so therefore, says Peter, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Yes, we engage the battle because we belong to the Lord, and this is what he requires of us. Is it worth the struggle? Well, when Jesus Christ returns, it will be worth it all. You remember that song, don't you? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see him. One look at his dear face, all trials will erase, and something else, I've forgotten how it goes. But that's a good song. That's a good thought, because that's exactly what the Bible is talking about. And that's what we are looking at in 1 Peter 1:13. So we'll continue in this vein. Thank you for joining us on this Monday, April 22. And many thanks to those whose gifts keep us broadcasting on this station. Well, how do we fight effectively? Well, first of all, we must focus upon the goal, and then we must commit ourselves to action, and finally, we must discipline our minds for success. That's what he's talking about. Focus upon the goal. We covered that on Friday, but that's where, in this text, Peter says, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Focus on the goal. Where you're headed, where you're going, what you will think is important 200 years from now, 100 years from now. It's going to look a whole lot different then. Focus on the goal, upon the blessings of your eternal inheritance, upon the greatness of the benefits that have been promised to you, that have already been secured by your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Fix your attention upon the goal, namely the time when we shall be in the presence of the Lord and shall be fully redeemed, and let that give you motive and incentive to fight effectively. So number one, how to fight effectively, focus upon the goal. Number two, commit yourself to action. Gird up the loins of your mind. That's how the verse begins. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. What does that mean? We don't do anything like that in our day. Well, it is a Hebrew idiom based upon the way people dressed in Bible days. For example, we read in 1 Kings 18:46, "Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." What was he doing? Well, he was pulling his robes up around his waist, off of his feet, off of his lower legs, up above his knees, so that they were out of the way and would not hinder him in running. He was getting rid of the hindrances that would keep him from running as fast as possible. It's a figure of speech for getting ready for action. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Prepare your mind for action. This is the first of two supporting exhortations, and this is how we rest our hope fully upon the future. That's what he goes on to say, gird up the loins of your mind and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. But to do that, to rest your hope fully upon these promises which have been made to you and which pertain to the future glories of salvation, require that you gird up your mind for action. Because if you just coast, you're not going to do this, because all of the distractions of life are going to take your mind in a dozen different directions, and you are not going to focus upon the goal. You've got to commit yourself to appropriate action. It requires strong mental activity. In other words, take control of your thoughts. Do not allow your mind to be lazy. Get yourself ready to think upon God's words and to obey His commands. Let nothing hinder your mind as you put it to work. You see, the point of this whole text is that the battle is for the mind. The battle is in the mind, and the battle is for the mind. And we have a great battle that's going on in our mind, and our mind wants to be lazy. I know people who pride themselves in being hard workers. They have worked hard all of their lives. They have been early risers. They have been indefatigable workers. I know people who work from early morning until late at night, at least 6 days a week, maybe five and a half. I'm thinking of one particular man that I admire very much because of his hard work. Hard physical labor that he's done all of his life, and he works hard 5.5 days a week, begins to taper off on Saturday afternoon, depending on when he can wind up his activities, and takes a longer evening on Saturday, and then gets ready for the Lord's Day, and finds himself in church on the Lord's Day, and makes the Lord's Day a day of spiritual activity and a day of physical rest. Good program. But that man works from early morning to late at night. When he gets home at night, after supper, he gets on the telephone and he's still at work. Working in his office and out of his truck and on his job and in physical exertion all day long, and then gets on the telephone at night and continues his labors. He's a very hard-working man, and no doubt you know people like that. We all know people like that. But what I've discovered is that some of the people who are the most active physically can be, not always necessarily, but can be some of the most lazy mentally. And some would be highly insulted if I told them that. You see, some people who don't work as hard physically are working very hard mentally. And frankly, folks, I have done a fair share of both, though done more mental work in the years that I have pastored. But before I pastored, I have worked in a factory. I have worked construction. I delivered morning newspapers all of my life, even before I was a teenager. That's the way I worked my way through college. I have been involved in physical work, physical activity all of my life, and I can tell you that in many ways, mental labor is more strenuous than physical labor. With physical labor, you get a sense of physical well-being because of the activity. Our bodies are made to work. They're made to exercise. When we don't do it, they get sluggish. And so those who are involved in physical type work often have a much better sense of well-being and better health than people who don't. People who work at strenuous mental labor all day long, particularly if they don't get appropriate physical activity, can really wear themselves out both mentally and physically. And if you don't watch it out, it'll be spiritually. But all that to say that mental activity is hard. And just like our bodies get tired and we tend sometimes to want to slack off on physical work, that may become more of a temptation as we get older and our bodies aren't as strong and we have more aches and pains. And so we want to slack off, but there is just as much a tendency, maybe more so, to slack off mentally. I know a lot of people who've had the idea, when I get done with school, that's it. No more studying after that. No more hard mental labor. I'm not going to push myself to think when I don't have to. I had to get through school, and I hated every minute of it. And now that I'm out, I'm not going to do that anymore. Then how are you going to be a good Christian? How are you going to be a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? How do you hope to hear Christ, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," when you stand before the Lord someday? Because the Bible has a lot of admonitions, like the one that is before us now in 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Therefore, get your mind ready for action, for activity, for mental work. And don't allow worry and distraction and neglect and disuse of your mind to rob you of the spiritual activity which is designed to help you in your walk with Christ. I said the spiritual activity. And what am I talking about? Mental activity. Of course, not just any mental activity. It has to do with getting your mind around the Word of God, thinking about it, understanding it, applying it, meditating upon it, taking it apart. That's what we're talking about here, the kind of mental activity that is required. If you are determined that you are going to coast mentally, then you're not going to do much growing in grace, and you're not going to wage very good warfare against sin and temptation and error and evil. I'm sorry, but you're not. Because it requires strong mental resolve to live like a true believer should live in looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. You have to set your mind upon the Word of God and make it your daily habit to take a portion of God's Word and mentally digest it. That's what's involved. Take a portion of God's Word and think it through, wrestle with it, get something out of it for the good of your soul. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.